Yeah, g'day again, and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Everyone Has a Story, the podcast that goes hand-to-hand with our quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine and In Noosa Magazine. On with today's episode. In this episode of Everyone Has a Story, we'll meet Andrew Wilcox from restaurant Park and Cove at Pepper's Noosa Resort and Villas. He's an individual who's always been driven to succeed. Growing up on the Sunshine Coast in Tawantin, Andy always had a thirst for life and a desire to make his mark on the world. He demonstrated a strong work ethic and a passion for cooking, traits that have led him to a successful career in hospitality. Andy's love of food and his dedication to his craft have made him a well-respected figure in the industry. He's a big sports fan. He loves Formula One motor racing and the NBA. He's particularly fond of former Chicago Bulls coach Phil Jackson, whom he admires for his mentorship, leadership, and motivational skills. Andy's story is one of determination, hard work, and success. He's an inspiration to us all to follow our dreams and never give up on ourselves. In this episode, we'll hear about Andy's life, his career, and his passions. We'll also learn about the challenges he's faced and how he's overcome them. Andy's story is a reminder that anything is possible if we set our minds to it. So tell me about this new gig. What's your official new title?
Director of Food and Beverage. So, yeah, for the last, well, been here 8.5 years. Position's come up a few times and I've sort of ummed and ahed about stepping into a completely different role. Yeah, and I was just a bit, you know, always a bit hesitant because I've loved the kitchen. You know, it's my natural habitat, as I like to say. I've been doing it for so long, it's very comfortable for me to step outside the kitchen. It's very, very unfamiliar. But, you know, with that job, it's always been bits and bobs of standing outside those lines. But, yeah, this one came up and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give it a crack. I'm going to give it my best shot and I'm very excited. Still in the kitchen, but also a lot outside the kitchen as well.
What does the title mean? Like, what does the job involve?
Running front of house and back of house. So everyone basically reports to me now. So anything that happens in the kitchen, I have just as much involvement with them as I do front of house. So I'm spread my wings out a little bit more, taking on another whole heap of staff to manage, which, you know, and the sort of reason why I like doing it is because the last 8.5 years I've had a really strong team and it took me a few years to get the foundations right so that I have 100% trust in them to do the same job as what I can do when I'm in there. We had a really good foundation when I first started. So the kitchen was a bit broken. Front of house team were amazing. They had a long-term staff that had been here for a very long time. And kitchen were new and I was new and I was in a new position. It was always like a front of house was always like the king and they sort of ran everything and they knew all the ins and outs of everything. And we were learning and trying to keep up with them really quickly. And that sort of leveled, and then it sort of went the other way. So the kitchen had been here for so long and we'd get a whole heap of new managers and a whole heap of new front of house staff. And then you had COVID change and a lot of people went for a different career. And it was just a sort of a battle to try and get them up to sort of where our knowledge was of the property. Because it's not just, you know, a restaurant, it's a property, it's events, it's a whole heap of different things. And managing all those different things at once sometimes can be a little bit overwhelming, but that's the challenge that I love. Just being able to go, okay, that's going to go there, that's going to go there this time. And just trying to get them up to speed, and then we'd get them and then we'd lose a couple. And after a few years, I've just gone, you know what, I reckon I can take the challenge and try and take both and try and bring them up really, really quickly together.
I want to ask you about that, because being in the kitchen, I've spoken to enough chefs, that's a creative brain.
Very creative.
And then moving into this, from what you've described, sounds like it's a bit of administrative.
Very.
So how do you reconcile, because if you're creative, you're creative, and yeah. you probably don't, I know for me, I don't really have much of a head for admin side.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile that?
Over the years, I've always been in admin. Like, okay. I've always, you know, working with a core, there's a big admin side of it. You know, you've got your creative side and your admin side, and I've got some sort of balance where I just seem to have the right balance of both, where I can go, I need to do this, from a work point of view and on the tools, and then I need to do this, on a computer basis, and be very clear what I do and very smart with my admin work and then be able to express also on my creative side as well. So,
and you still get a chance to do that.
Yeah, still get a chance to do that. Still do menu development, working with, you know, a few of my other chefs that have been there for years with me. Yeah, so I just got a really good balance. And I got a good, as I said before, I got a great foundation, great team underneath me that I can go, you need this, 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 and this menu. And they go, yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They get it.
How long have you been here?
8.5 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
It is.
Is that a bit of a record when it comes to...
I don't know.
Being in the one... Well, you know, people move around a lot.
They do.
I guess there's been a bit of, you know, with COVID and the pandemic, a bit of kind of stability from employers that want to lock good people away.
Yes.
And again, you know, the food here, since you've been here and Matt... your paths crossed over, didn't they? How did that work? I can't remember now the timeline.
So I originally came here in 2018. I keep getting that mixed up. 2015.
Yeah.
I came and I worked under Michael Jenkins, who was the exec chef at that time. He was here 5.5 years. You know, back then I was like, oh, that's a long time. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And after about 6 months, me and him working together, he ended up having to, not having to, he ended up moving on to just to pass now, Newcastle. Was it Newcastle? I can't remember now. But yeah, anyway, lovely guy. I get along with him really, really well. And he taught me so much because I'd never worked in corporate resort sort of style, or admin style. I was always, you know, typical Hastings Street chefs, cafes, all that sort of stuff. Went down to Melbourne, just normal restaurant sort of gigs, and he's like, oh, this is a big difference. And I was like, oh, it wouldn't be that bad, you know, it'd be easy. And there's a very completely different challenges to what you'd have in normal restaurants working for a corporate. But I just fell in love with it, and fell in love with the passion and the drive to not only do well as a property, but to do well in different teams and different areas.
Food's always been amazing every time.
Thanks.
Where did the love for being in the kitchen and creating come from?
Was it a lot of people say that, like, oh, you must always have loved food, and the truth is, like, I really just fell into it. Like,
but nobody was like parents that taught you, a mum that taught you.
No, definitely not. My parents are very different when it comes to cooking towards what I grew up with. Dad was basically, the steak has to be absolutely well done, and once it's well done, leave it on there for about half an hour and cover it in tomato sauce. Steak. Like,
meat and two veg.
Or anything that comes out of a can.
But I grew up in an Italian family where my mother was responsible, and the food was amazing.
Yeah.
But she never once, she did everything for me, like a good Italian food. It never taught me, but as soon as I left home, I taught myself, and now I love cooking. And I'm not, I don't do amazing dishes, but I think I can have guests over, and I can impress them with something.
Yeah, nice.
No one taught me, like, my, so I was curious as to how you gravitated.
Yeah, mine was actually, I was very, you know, I was raised my mum was 15 and pregnant. So I was raised by very young parents, you know, here in Tewantin, and lived in the caravan park when I was a kid. And just when I was in high school, I always wanted to, I was first to get a job. Like, as soon as you could get a job and start making some money and start getting ahead in life. And I used to work a few different jobs on Hastings Street. Still wasn't your thing? I went to school as well. I did school as well. I had 3 jobs while I was at school. I was a very busy kid and just wanted to make my way up and, you know, just start making a way in life, and very hands-on. And yeah, worked at a lot of restaurants as dishies for cash back in the day.
What was your motivator? I asked these questions.
I don't know.
Because I got a 14-year-old. Now, school's not his thing.
School wasn't my thing either. I was there for the social aspect.
I got him 2 jobs too now at 14.
Yeah. Mine was just, I don't know. It's just, it's like, it's a bit of growing up, a bit of responsibility, a bit of ownership.
Bit of maturation as well.
I wanted money. Like, I wanted to...
Yeah, what do you want to do with the money?
Just
travel?
Yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was a lot of partying, but... it's just, I just wanted to make it on my own. And
independence.
I left home pretty early, very early, in my teens, just because I wanted to get out, and I just wanted to do everything on my own, and I wanted to do it as quick as I could. You know, I wanted to be the first kid at school with tattoos. I wanted to be, you know, the cool. I was always trying to do everything before anyone else could do it, you know, and learn from my mistakes very, very quickly. But I just ended up falling into an apprenticeship on Hastings when I was young, and it was just because the apprentice kept rocking up late, not showing up, and I was at the kitchen end, and he's like, you're the new apprentice. And I was like, I don't want to be a chef. Like, I'm just happy doing my thing, coming in, doing my dishes. And he's like, no, you're the new apprentice. Otherwise, you can basically see you later, in other words. And I was like, well, I needed money because I was paying rent. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I did that and then picked up a couple other cash in hand jobs just to make up for the extra money. And yeah, I just fell into it. Did that for 2.5 years down there. Moved to another restaurant, finished off with my head chef. And then, yeah, got signed off and I was like 18 years old when I was qualified. And, you know, I still was just doing it for a job. And then, like what most of us did, I went to Melbourne for a few years. Did a lot of stuff down there and lied on my resume about my age and went in for a sous chef job. And I worked my ass off for a very long time. And it was a very big wake up call of how to manage people and try and run kitchens. And pretty stressful, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sleepless nights about how to, what to do with certain things. And it made me grow up real quick.
Yeah.
And then, I got a call to come back sort of to Noosa, and I jumped at the opportunity because I just loved it here. Loved the lifestyle. It's where I grew up.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I got 2 younger brothers, 2 younger sisters. So I'm the oldest of 5.
I just wanted to kind of put my finger on what motivated you to leave home so early. So it was pretty crowded, I'm guessing.
Very
competitive.
Not really competitive at all. I was just, you know, love my parents. They're amazing people. But I was
still close today.
Still close. Still very close.
Well, they're quite young.
Very young. Yeah. Like my mother was a grandma at 39.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, very, very, very close. I just had the opportunity to go. Look, I just wanted to leave as soon as I could. Sort of let the other kids have a bit more room at home. But I just did it because I wanted to just to make it on my own, to do it on my own as quick as I could.
Yeah.
I rushed my whole life, and to sort of like the last 8 years I've always rushed into things, and just any opportunity I just took it, balls to the wall.
Yeah.
You know, just ran in with guns blazing. And then after you have kids, sort of take a step back. And
you got a couple of kids now?
I got 3.
Wow.
3 kids.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. 3 kids, married. So
yeah,
very busy.
I start picking people's brains because kids are challenging.
Very.
Your kids are young.
Yes.
Mine's 14. There's no handbook. There's no manual.
No.
So I always take the opportunity. If you could address your younger self, say at that moment where you wanted to leave home, what would be the best advice that you would give yourself with the experience that you've had? I'm just after a tip or a little kind of nugget that you what would you do?
Oh, if I could, I would
something different.
I'm very happy with where I am and what I've accomplished, and you know, my beautiful wife, my 3 kids, happy. Wouldn't change a thing. You know,
just in terms of the path that you took, was there a path that might have been easier?
I think there would have been a path. I think
What was difficult about it or challenging?
I think it's the risk. You know, you're always worried about what if I fail? Do you know what I mean? And I've failed plenty of times. I've asked and I've gone for positions, and I've gotten them, some I didn't, but I wish I took more risks. Even though I have taken lots of risks, but I wish I did more, because I think that would have maybe pathed a different career. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just sort of fell into cooking and loved it, and I still love it. Still to this day, but I just go, what if I didn't do that? What if I went and did something else? Where would I be now? Would I be as happy? I don't know, because I'm pretty happy with where I am now and what I've done. But yeah, it's always interesting to think of what else could I have done, don't I? Could I have been a Formula One race car driver?
It's interesting the advice that you give your kids as they grow older.
Oh, yes.
In terms of, like, because I think, you know, you're talking, I think, would I encourage my kid to take risks? Would I encourage him to push the boundaries of, I don't know, it's a fine one.
My middle child definitely pushes boundaries. He's just wired that way.
How old?
He is 9. He challenges everything.
Oh, yeah. See, again, you know, the difficult parts of all of that is kids that challenge everything. They end up becoming, you know, good negotiators. They end up becoming great CEO. You know, life is about negotiation. So I never go, oh, fuck, this is hard. Why is he always, you know, challenge this, challenge that, ask this. And I go, you don't want to hit that on the head, because I want you to keep that spirit. You have to know when to speak up and when not to, when not to speak up.
Or so he's all about speaking up.
Yeah. Well, you know, never kind of try and soften that. I think that's a good quality. But
it is.
It's interesting having kids, because do you see what have you got? A boy?
I got oldest is a daughter. Who's the oldest? Who's about to turn 11.
Yeah.
In like 2 months, she's turning 11. And then my middle son, Mason, just turned 9 last week. And then my other son, in 2 months as well, also turned 7.
And what elements of yourself do you see in...
My daughter is all me. She's sort of developing, sort of early preteen, very similar to my wife. But the whole first 10 years has just been me. She looks like me. She's got my hair. So that preteen is very turning into a very girly, boys, all that sort of stuff. Very similar to my wife. Our middle son, Mason, is all Tara's dad. He's all Danish, because she's half Danish, half Dutch. And her dad is a big, tall Dane. And if you look at the difference between him and Mason, like when he was born, I was like, that kid ain't mine. He looks so different. And then you look at the difference, and it's exactly like his grandfather.
Yeah. Boy, I'm surprised as they call you're Parker. Not a Verstappen fan.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Your background's Dutch.
No, not me. Your wife. My wife, yes. She's half Danish, half Dutch.
Ah, right.
Yeah. So his Parker, which is his grandfather, is Danish. And my son, Mason, my middle one, is exactly the same. Like, just this string being... the European sort of like eyes. He's just literally, you look at both of them as a kid, you're like, it's the same kid.
Yeah.
Just, 60 years difference.
You, if I heard you right, you mentioned that, you as a younger you would have taken more risks.
Oh, yes.
But you're still young now.
Yeah.
Is there something that you still would like to accomplish or achieve in a completely different arena or avenue?
I haven't figured that out yet. Like, as I said, this new position came up and I was like, no, I have to go for it. Like, just, and that's going to be a challenge. I've got a few challenges that I need to address quite quickly, and there's a few goals that I've set out for my 1 month, 2 month, 3 month that I want to accomplish here. But yeah, after that, I don't know what else I want to do. Like, as you said, I'm young and I know that there's a few things I still have on my goals list that I want to accomplish.
Might it be something completely outside of hospitality?
It might be, but I'm still undecided on what those things are. But yeah, just going through everything at the moment and just living life at the best and trying to enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah,
especially with the young kids.
You mentioned earlier, can talk about your tats.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, it was interesting because when I thought you said you want to be the first kid at school with tats.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the driver for that?
Oh, I don't know. Rebellion? As a kid, my idol was Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I just wanted to be like him, like cool, different.
I just finished watching The Last Dance.
Oh, did you? Yeah, it's awesome. And as a young kid, like everyone, that's 90s, I was born in the 80s, but grew up sort of early 90s. The Bulls era for me was just amazing.
You watched that docu?
Yeah, loved it twice actually.
Yeah,
I've always loved the Bulls and sort of what they stand for. And they weren't the best team, and they struggled for ages, and then they started getting, and they got some good recruiting, and they just played really, really well. And then similar to what Max is going through, you get so good, then you get the people who don't like you anymore because you keep winning, and then you get the haters that, oh, they can't do it again, oh, they can't do it, and then you prove them wrong, and you prove them wrong, and you prove them wrong. But I just love Rodman. I loved his completely different ball game to everyone else. His job was to rebound and get the ball, and he gave it 110% every night. He looked different.
He got a lot of slack. Cut a lot of slack, wasn't he? From what was the coach?
Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there was a press conference when AWOL. Rodman went AWOL.
Yeah.
But it was right.
He was given 48 hours and he got 70 something and he didn't come back.
But Phil was like, he would kind of deflect the journos that were there. He was like, he'll show up and
play. He let him go because he knows that he needed that.
That was.
I've got that. I sometimes think of myself a bit like Phil Jackson because I manage the chefs in a very similar way. But I've got, every chef's different and some of them need to go out and party and need that bit of a release. From their own personal lives, their own personal problems, and their own day-to-day of what they're doing, that builds up and you can see it, and give them a few days off and then they come back. writer's reign.
And they perform.
Yeah. So in my my ways, I'm sort of like their coach, and that's the sort of way I sort of work it in hospitality, where you're not only a mentor for the younger ones and the ones that work for you and work as a team, but you need to look after them, which I do. Like, I look after them, I nurture them, I try and help them through their own personal problems. They come to me with all different things.
That's great to draw, you know, to have someone like people like that. You talk about Rodman, you talk about, you know, Phil Jackson,
the coach of the
Bulls back in the 90s when they won 6 championships. To have someone like that as a leader to go, you know, if I emulate his style in terms of leadership and, you know, this is the kind of practice I can put into real life. That's great.
I take a lot of that from a lot of different people that you sort of, you know, sports stars or coaches or leaders or sometimes CEOs. You take bits. I try and take something from everybody. Even something like my dishes, some of them, like who I've met over the past, like, I won't say names on here because he doesn't want to be mentioned, but I worked with a guy who came over on a boat and had the worst life you've ever heard of, you know, and just had the most disgusting things you've ever heard or seen happen. Had the hardest life, came over here in immigration, struggled, just very, very hard life. And then now, 12 years later, he's got his own business, he's got a wife, he's got a kid, and he's doing so well.
What was his attitude through all of that? Because there's another doctor.
He was so down.
Oh, he was down.
He was so down. And just no matter what happened in life, he just got kicked just to the ground.
Yeah, right.
And when we met, he said he's on breaking point and doing everything on your own, whole new country, didn't know how to speak the language. Like, it's hard, man. Like, and he's now you look at him and you wouldn't know. Do you know what I mean? He's done so well. And
that's great. I mean, that makes, you know, if you take him under your wing and you help and you're there and that's awesome. I didn't know which way that story was going to go, but the other doco that's worth, if you're into those inspirational stories, is the Arnold doco.
Oh, I've never seen that.
The Schwarzenegger one, because, you know, his childhood was horrendous. His dad was
really
his dad fought in the Second World War for the Nazis. He had shrapnel. He was an alcoholic. The dad beat the kids, beat the wife, and in the interviews subsequent to that, you know, if they would say, well, you must have had a horrible life, he's always half glass half full kind of guy. Right. I was like, no, because that was the inspiration for me to leave.
Yeah,
you know, I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to get my passport. I wanted to get to the US. I wanted to, and always glass half full, everything. Yeah. You know, it's just always positive, but nothing's ever a regret so it's great to have those idols and those stories, but that must, you know, that makes you feel good to take and also be a mentor to people
and I try that with all my staff. As I said, like with the kitchen, I've 18 and now I've just taken on an extra 22, so I've got 40 staff now.
Wow,
so big team. And as I've said to them from, you know, day one today, I try and nurture them all and look after them and because that's what you have to do to look after, to keep your staff and set a good foundation. You have to look after them, you have to nurture them, you have to, you know, be there for them. I find that, you know, the old school ways of doing things doesn't work anymore. For me personally, I don't know if they still work for other people, but yeah, just a staff retention for one is if you look after them and they feel, you know, like they're appreciated, that they're going to stay.
Pick your brain about, you know, the stories that we do here in this region. You talk about staff retention, hiring. Is it you're finding it difficult to hire staff? Are you finding it?
I do, not so much in the kitchen, but front of house, yes.
Yeah. Shortage of people ready to work.
It's not like a negative thing. It's more of a, again, don't quote me, but I find that a lot of people that we're getting from front of house doing this as a stepping stone. You know, back when, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, this was working food and beverages, front of house was a career. It was, you know, it was a sought after career. It was very, very well done, very professional.
But that's cultural, isn't it? I mean, you go to Europe and in France and Italy, that front of house in hospitality is a career.
Yeah.
People, you see people that's, I think Aussies don't. Look at it. Like,
it's more of
like
a stepping stone. Like, we get a lot of young ones that are doing or taking a year off to do it to go to uni, defer. Or we get a lot of backpackers. Or we get the ones that are here The ones that are here and been here a while, the family ones, generally the ones that have already got their kids, got the house set up, and they're happy to stay here. And they're the ones, that are just here all the time, which is great. But it is also hard sometimes with the rental market. That's another problem in its own. And a lot of the backpackers are, eight to a 4-bedroom house, and they're all double sharing rooms. So, but again, that's another problem in itself as well.
These are all issues that you have to deal with, or
you
find that the stuff that you got, you mentioned stuff retention. That's one of the things you have to manage and handle.
Definitely,
and
definitely on the cards for quite a lot of them. But as I said, the younger ones, they live here with mum and dad, so that's fine.
Yeah,
but they're usually only here for about a year or 6 months, or while they go traveling.
What's your goal or a personal KPI for you now? Like I said, this is, first day on the job, say the next 12 months, 24 months, 1 to 2 years. What do you want to change? What do you want to do?
I want to get my foundations right. I want to be able to get my foundations right here where I can go, right, I've got a restaurant manager, assistant restaurant manager, supervisors. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone knows exactly what's going on. That's my first goal. That's what I want to get clear as soon as I can. That's the first one. 2 years or 3 years from now, I'd like to see what would be different, but I just don't know just yet. It's pretty exciting, but as I said, it's stepped into a whole new world and everything's new and fresh, so I'm going to come in with a fresh set of eyes and try and change a few things, see what has been working and see what we can change and do better.
Andrew Wilcox from Park & Cove at Pepper's Noosa Resort and Villas. Andrew was my guest on today's episode. If there's something in that you think is relatable to someone else, a friend of yours or a family member, please feel free to share the link about, text it to your mate, or share it about on your social media platforms.